forever. That's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 through 13. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 through 13 is what is said by the prophet Samuel as he told David what God had said. Can you even read that again? Chapter 7, 12, 13. I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, coming from David, from his lineage, and I will establish his kingdom. He will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom for forever. It has a twofold meaning, that, doesn't it? Certainly it does, doesn't it? Because we look at the son of David also as the Christ, God's son, who is Jesus, who will build his kingdom and establish his kingdom forever as well. But what's more important as we look at this lesson this morning is we're going to find out what's needed for the kingdom of God to be established. There's some things that just needed to establish the kingdom. It's like if you start in your own household, there's some things that need to be established if you're going to establish your own household, if you're going to run your own household. And that's what 2 Kings is examining. We look at 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. And David, this is his final recorded words that we're seeing right here. And these words are a charge that he's given to his son, Solomon, his final words. So he says to his son, he says, listen, I want you to be strong, first of all. Not only do I want you to be strong, I want you to show yourself to be a man. How many people ever told your son that? Man, look, I need you to grow up and just be a man. But unfortunately, sometimes tragedy happens in families, and you get these guys who are 10, 11, and 9, and sometimes 13, and they die. And they make a mistake, and they tell those kids that they're the man of the household. Ain't no such thing. You're going to be the man of the household, you ain't even a man yet. I know what they're meaning, but that's still, to me, it's something that should not be regarded as such. But Solomon is a grown man here, and he tells his son, David tells his son, I need you, first of all, to be strong. You've got to be strong to establish the kingdom. You've got to show yourself to be a man, and you have to keep the charge of the Lord your God. He's saying, be what God has called you to be, and that's what all God is asking us to do as well, is just to be what God has called us to be. In the kingdom of God, he says, I want you, Solomon, to be courageous and take your responsibility to rule over Israel in two ways, as a godly man and as the king. You're going to rule over your kingdom, first of all, as a godly man, and second of all, as a king. And you're going to use the power that God has given you, not only to serve God, but in your kingdom, you have to serve others as well as they serve you. So he says, be strong, right? Be a man. Take charge of your kingdom, right? Be courageous. Be responsible. And rule over Israel as a God-fearing man. Serve God. And serve your fellow man as well, the people that are in your kingdom. That's important because that involves all of us as well. We have the same conditions from God in our lives to do the exact same thing. It's not a walk in the park being in the kingdom of God. Listen to verse 3. Keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and keeping his statutes. Keep his commandments, his rules, and his testimonies. And this doesn't only apply to Solomon. Can this apply to our lives as well? And if it can, tell me what way can this apply, verse number 3, to our lives as well as children in the kingdom of God? Keep the charge of the Lord. Is the oracles of God? She going? So he says, you can cheat, it's right there. Verse 3. We have to keep the charge of the Lord. We got to walk in his ways, and we got to keep his statutes. Got to keep his commandments and his rules and his testimonies. We have to do that. And keeping charge of the Lord means taking the path that God has given us to walk in our lives. We've got to take that path. Keeping the charge, what he's saying here, means keeping God's decrees, commands, and regulations. It's keeping the law of God, right? Every decision in our life should not be, but sad enough it is, desired, guided by what you think you ought to do. I think all of us at some point in time, maybe some of us still do, live in a state that's called think so. I think that this is how this ought to be. I think this should be such. Listen, when we walk in by the charge of God, we're not to be guided by what we think or what we think we ought to do, because we're living in the kingdom of God. It's not our kingdom to rule or reign in, right? Not even to I guess you can say, kick against the kingdom or the rules or the laws of God, but we do that all the time. We kick, we cry, and we scream because we don't want to do the things that God has called us to do. We want to do what? Yeah, we want to do it our own way. We want to do it our own way. And I got to tell you, I tell my wife all the time, I says, when you decide you're going to go a certain direction, I say, if you turn around and go the other way, you'll be going the right way. And she's not good with it. She's not good with that. And we're not good with that either, because again, we don't know where we're going, right? The call is to go to heaven, but we don't know how to get there. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father, but we don't know how to get there. We don't know what direction to go. He gives us directions through his word, not by what we think. So if you put what you think ahead of what God says, you're always going to go in the wrong direction, and you're going to make the wrong decisions. But if you do what God says, you're going to rise in your life. You're going to rise. Might not seem like you're going to rise. You're going to rise. As long as you do what God says, you're going to rise in your life. But if you don't do what he says, you're going to fall. That's just it. You're going to fall. Mm-hmm. Read verses 3 and 4 for me, somebody. Chapter 2, 3 and 4. Listen to what David continues to say in these verses 3 and 4. Who's got that? Four.
Okay. You and your descendants must always faithfully obey the Lord. If you do, he will keep the solemn promise he made to me that someone from our family will always be king of Israel.
Isn't that incredible? And God keeps his promises, right? The end of that verse 3 and verse 4 says, you continue to do what God asks you to do, that you may prosper in all that you do. If you turn to the left, you're going to prosper. Turn to the right, if you back up, you're going to prosper in everything that you do. That the Lord may establish the word that he spoke concerning me, David said, that he's going to keep his promises. If your sons pay close attention to the... Listen, we all want our children to follow our paths and walk in our ways, but they have to make their own paths as well, right? Well, what he's saying here is, listen, if you walk in the way of the Lord, not necessarily in my path, right, then you're going to prosper in all you do, and there's always going to be someone from your lineage, from our family, to be on this throne, to sit on this throne. Always going to be that way. So walk before God. We have to walk before God in faithfulness with all our heart, what he says, with all of our soul. And if we do that, there shall not be anything lacking from our family lineage when it comes to serving God. Exactly. It's not your thing, so. And no matter how wise you think you are, because Solomon was the wisest man ever to live on the face of it, no matter how wise you think you are and how much you think you've learned, it can't be done on your own think so, from that state of think so. It has to be faithfulness to God with all your heart and with all your soul. I mean, he even says, listen, raise your kids up, right, in the way it should go, and when they are old, they shall not what? Yeah, they might go to the false country down there and stay for a little while, but in their hearts, it's planted the faithfulness from God, from the way that you live your life, from what they see in you, and how you respond in the kingdom of God. They see that. And it's sad when they leave. Oh, but it's a joyous, grand party when they come back, right? Indeed. Indeed. And never doubt for one second in your mind that what you've instilled in your children, that they're coming back. Never doubt that. You might not see them come back. You might be gone before they come back. But God keeps his promises. He says if you do that, they're going to come back. And we say, well, you know, I've been waiting a long time. What is a long time? That's your time. That's your think so. Right? Just walk in God. It's an important message that obeying God is for your own good. It's for your own good. And this is what he's telling his son. And I want you to understand, his son is not no little boy that he's talking to. He's talking to a grown man here. Listen, son, a lot of folks don't want to talk to their children when they become grown. They say, oh, they're grown. They're going to make up their own mind. They're gonna... No, they still need your guidance. They still need you to tell them sometimes, listen to me, what to do. Because you've been there. They hadn't been there. David said, I haven't been king for 40 years. You just starting, son. Listen to what I got to tell you. If you want to be what God has called you to be and rule his kingdom where God wants you to rule the kingdom, obeying God is for your own good. When you walk in God's ways, it's the only way to have God's blessings. A lot of people think they can do what they want to do out in the world and put that sign on the front of their car, I'm blessed. The sun shines on the good as well as the bad, doesn't it? That's a blessing within itself. But as Christians, we receive spiritual blessings that the world cannot ever know. It can't know those things. Right? So you walk in God's ways so God will be with you throughout your whole journey in this life. Not just this section that you're living in right now, the whole book. And that's the key to everything. And God will make this point to Solomon two more times after David says it. He says it again in chapter 3, verse 14. And he says it also in chapter 9, in verse number 4. Do what God asks you to do. You know what it reminds me of? How many people in here grew up with a fence around their yard? You did? Fence around your yard. Did you know the rules when it came to that fence? Somebody tell me the rules. Huh? Say that again. What was the rules for the fence? So why couldn't you go outside the fence? What were your rules? Don't leave the gate open. Anybody else? Right? Here's what David is saying to Solomon. No need for you going outside of the fence, because when you go outside the fence, I cannot protect you any longer. There are rules for the fence. And we can't go outside the boundaries of God either. Everybody wants that fence, but listen, they feel like it's better playing on the outside of the fence than on the inside. Where's the safety? On the inside or outside of the fence? God says, listen, David, you tell Solomon don't go outside the fence. But eventually, no, he did, right? He did. And he didn't climb over it either. He opened the gate. And nobody leave the gate open. He's the king. He opened the gate, and he went outside that fence, Sister Jenkins. Right? He went out. We look out there and we see our kids outside that fence. What's the first thing we see? And what you doing outside the fence? I'm in the house trying to cook. I'm washing clothes. I'm trying. What you doing? And then I tell you not to go outside the fence. Right? But this is some of David's last words to his son, so he will not be living when his son goes outside the fence. Right? You might as well tell him, look, just go and go outside the fence, son, at the beginning. Because they always do the opposite of what you tell them, right? Maybe he would have stayed in. Right? But that's what it... Listen, the rules inside the fence are for your own good. God's rules are for your own good, right? And they're going to keep you from pain and trouble as well. He says, listen, I want you to follow the way that God wants you to go in this life. And that's all we have to do, right? That's all we have to do. But listen, we got a lot of think so in us. We've got a lot of that in us, man. It'd be a travesty if we couldn't think, right? But sometimes it's a travesty knowing the things that we think are not aligned with what God thinks. Because God says that, right? Your ways are not my ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts, says the Lord. He says that. But we are filled with a lot of think-sos, man, and we come into God's kingdom thinking we can do this or do that, or we could be this or we could be that. Somebody says, well, who died and made you king? You're not the king, right? Chapter 2, verses 5 through 9. Here's what David tells his son. And there are two things that need to be done to establish the kingdom of God. It's the same two things need to be done when you're establishing your household as well. These two things need to be done, right? Chapter 2, verses 5 through 9. David tells his son that the kingdom needs to be a just kingdom. You need to bring justice, right? In verse 5, he says justice must be brought on Joab for the innocent blood he spilled. We're getting them names now, Sister Banks. It's Joab right here. He says in verse number 6, he should not die peacefully for what he has done. Boy, isn't that something? Everybody wants to die in peace, don't they? He says, listen, don't let this joker die in peace for what he has done. So what does that say in your mind? If he can't die in peace, how's he going to die? Man, cruel, vicious death, huh? He says, listen, bring justice to him, all right? Verse number 7, justice also needs to come to Barzillai's family because of his loyalty when David was escaping from Absalom. So these are the two things you see here. You see the judgment of God and the justice of God establishing the kingdom of God. That's the same thing we have in our own households. It ought to be that we see justice as a positive component, and also the kindness and the reward ought to come from your loyalty to your family. Too many times we want to punish our children or the people in our household, but we don't want to give them a reward. There's consequences on both sides. It's justice and judgment. In the kingdom of God, we see that. We see the justice and the judgment, right? So Barzillai's family need to be rewarded for the kindness they showed David when he was escaping from Absalom, his son, who wanted to overtake the kingdom. But justice also needs to come for Joab, who spilled innocent blood. And that justice comes in two different ways, right? There's judgment and there's reward. And everything there is judgment and reward. We're all going to stand before God, right, on the day of judgment, and we receive all the things that's done in the body, good or bad. That's what we need. And that we see that established in the kingdom of God. Verses 8 through 9, it's a guy named Shimei. Well, who's this guy? Y'all remember him from 2 Samuel? You remember Shimei, what he did? Man, when David was escaping from Absalom, he was getting ready to cross the Jordan River. This guy, he was kicking up dust, throwing rocks, and cursing at the king. I mean, acting a plumb fool because he wasn't on the king's side. So he thought, hey, you know, I can treat him any kind of way now because he's running. He ain't the king. Absalom is the king. Acted like a plumb fool. He cursed David. He swore that he would never even follow David. But here's what David swore at that time. David swore he wouldn't avenge himself. But that doesn't mean, just because David didn't avenge himself, it doesn't mean that there should not be justice to Shimei. Because Shimei is innocent and worthy of death. How many times do you see people speak against the king of the universe? How many times do you see people speak against God? It's called blasphemy. And blasphemy is always rewarded with death. And you may not get it right now at this present moment, but blasphemy is always worthy of death. He cursed him, threw rocks at him, throwing dust up in the air. Do you know what David said? I'm not going to kill you now. Go ahead on. I'm going to let it go, you know. But I got a son that's coming who's going to mete out justice and establish the kingdom the way it ought to be. The kingdom of the son of David is a kingdom that's being established here. We see in Solomon's kingdom being established, that's going to bring justice to the wicked and kindness to who? To the loyal. Everybody that's in the kingdom of God, everybody that's in the church, we're not wicked people. We're not people who are seeking to do things that are bad. But every now and then you might find one or two, but you can't let that one or two speak for the vast majority of God's people, because all of us are loyal to the king for the most part. And as a result of that, God said, you're going to get your reward. Well done, good and faithful servant, right? Enter into your master's joy. So there's justice for those that are loyal, a reward, and there's justice for those that are wicked, you get judgment. That stuff will kill you. It's a fatal decision that you're making to not follow the king in his own kingdom. Anybody ever tell you what they're going to do in your own house? And you look at them, you say, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill. Right? Them boys will raise up to you quick, right? You got to back them now. I'm going to kill you. Because they're not worthy of anything that's a reward, right? Because they're not acting the way they ought to act. They're not walking worthy to be living in your household, at least not at that time. But you don't kick them out. You give them mercy. You give them grace, right? Go ahead, Brother Anson.
Gonna get it.
And at the same time, in your household, if you did something that was good, you got rewarded. Yeah, it's the same thing in the kingdom, you know. Man, they had that rock candy waiting for you when you were small. Or them, remember them big old planks? They don't make planks like that no more. And gingerbread planks? Oh, I used to love getting one of them. Huh? Yeah. Man, I used to love them. Tell you. But either you got a stage plank or you got a wood plank. You got justice or judgment. One of the two, right? Exactly. You get to make that choice. And that's a good point you're making, Brother Cook. You get to make that choice of how you behave in the kingdom of God. Whether you're going to get justice or whether you're going to get judgment. You get to make that decision. Because we all know right from wrong. We know the rules for the fence. We know the rules, right? So verse 12 tells us that the rule of Solomon was firmly established because of the justice and the judgment that he meted out as a result of listening to his dad in the kingdom. That's what happened. But then, here comes Adonijah back on the scene. Here he comes, right? Who remembers Adonijah? Who is Adonijah? Somebody tell me who he is. Huh? Adonijah.
Yeah, he wanted to be king. And he had, had his parade and all that good stuff. And everything.
He had that party at the Hilton we talked about last week.
Yeah. And then, what was all that noise going on over there?
That's right.
He was partying down. But David saw all the other people, okay, but David's still the king.
He over there balling, trying to take the kingdom over, right? And he's balling over there trying to take the kingdom over. For what reason? What's the main reason that he was trying to take the kingdom over?
Trying to become king. He wanted to take the kingdom.
Why? Because he thought he deserved it. There's a lot of things that we think we are privileged to in the kingdom of God because we think we deserve it, and we simply do not.
In tradition, too. Right? Tradition, the elders would have inherited
the kingdom. Exactly. But look, all the other sons were dead, huh? Right. All the other sons were dead.
Yeah,
David wasn't dead yet. Not when he threw the party. No, David wasn't dead yet. But now, when Adonijah comes back into the scene, David has died. He's died now. Comes back in the scene, and he declared himself to be the next king after David before this. And Solomon spared his life under the condition that if you walk worthy in the kingdom, our lives will be spared as well. Look at the spiritual part. If we walk worthy in the kingdom of God, our lives are going to be spared as well. All right? In essence, what we need to do to live in God's kingdom is show ourselves worthy of fruit that bears repentance. That's what you show. Because what happens is, Adonijah goes over to Bathsheba. And who is that? Boy, you know them, them mamas will do just about anything for them sons. Am I right? Oh, just about anything for them sons. That's what their mamas would do. He says, I'm going to get her this way. Let me go talk to Bathsheba, and I'm going to ask for Abishag to be my wife. Out of all the people in the kingdom. Now, the Bible says that this man was a handsome, strapping fella, just like Absalom was. He was a beautiful man, if someone would put it that way. He could have had anybody in the kingdom he wanted, being a king's son and being a beautiful man. Could have had him. So he goes, he says, I want Abishag. I'm going to go and talk to Solomon's mother because he will do anything that his mother asks him to do. And that's something. I can't go ask his daddy now, even if daddy was living, because I know. But them mamas be favoring them sons sometimes. You know, I can't say that. But I'm going to go to her. And I want Abishag to be my wife. And who was Abishag? You remember who she was? Yeah, when he was old and cold. And that's who Abishag was. He went to him to warm him up because he couldn't keep himself warm no matter what he did. So Adonijah wants her to be his wife. What's wrong with that? Huh?
She has lineage to the throne.
And what you was going to say? She wasn't a wife though. She was just a yeah. But listen, here's the thing. Y'all remember in 2 Samuel when Ahithophel he told Absalom, he said, listen, we're gonna make some tents. We're gonna put them up where everybody can see it, and we're gonna put them next to the concubines of David, right? Because he's dead now. So all them concubines are sitting up right there. Right? Well, no, David wasn't dead. He was trying to take the kingdom over. His dad was still living, Absalom. They pitched a tent, and he went into the 10 concubines that David left there when he escaped running from Absalom. That was to take over the kingdom. That's what that was about. So here comes Adonijah. He wants to do the same thing. He said, well, my brother did it, take over the kingdom. I'm going to do it too. I'm going to go into his concubine, and I'm going to sleep with her. That is pure treason. Treason. It's a political move, so everybody can see that he's got the wives of David, so he has to be king. And he's favored by all the people at the same time. So he's running amok. He's doing what he wants to do, right? So I'm going to go ask Bathsheba for Abishag so I could do the same thing that my brother did. And it's a symbolic thing that shows that we season the kingdom because I'm sleeping with your concubines. They're mine now. Right? He is showing himself to do the same thing. But Solomon is wise, isn't he? Solomon sees through that. Anybody ever come to you and you know they was deceiving you? You know they was lying. They had an ulterior motive. They didn't want to do this. They want to do this to get to that. Solomon saw right through it. He says, that is it. That's it, mama. He said, all the people in... He said, look, mama, out of all the people in this kingdom, he could have had anybody he want, and you're going to come to me and ask me for my daddy's concubine? That's what he told his mom. It's not happening. And because he asked for it, he has to die. Now, remember when he was holding on to the horns of the altar in chapter 1? What did he say? He said, man, look, just let me live because I'm going to walk worthy in your kingdom. I'm going to follow your rule. Whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do it. But he was lying, right?
But David's over.
He was lying. So It's a false repentance that Adonijah had in chapter 1. All right? He said what he needed to say to stay alive in the moment. But his true character was revealed. His whole intent was never mind that God had said that the kingdom was going to be for Solomon, and he knew that. He knew that, he even acknowledged that. But still in his own mind, he wanted to do what he wanted to do. Solomon says, you know what? You're trying to stab me in the back, but I got something for you. Because I already told you, if you walk worthy in the kingdom of God, you're going to get a reward. You're going to be able to live. But if you do things that are wicked and evil, you say, I got to put you out. I got to put you out of your misery. Right? Let me see if I can get this time frame from y'all. Here's an important truth, but let me see if y'all can get this time frame. You can only hide the truth for what? What's the time frame? Thank you. That's it. That's the time frame. So long. You never saw that on your clock? You can only hide the truth for so long. And when the so long runs out, your time is up. Listen, our character is always going to come to light. People know who you are, but they give you the benefit of the doubt sometimes as well, especially after you repent, right? And you feel that okay, I'm going to repent, and I'm going to have a little leeway here. He's going to have mercy on me. And Solomon did have mercy on him. He says, if you walk right, if you walk worthy in the kingdom of God, you are going to get a reward. The same thing for us. We can't do what we want to do. We've got to repent of the things that we do in the kingdom and walk worthy in the kingdom of God that we might get the reward. But if we don't, if our repentance is a false repentance, if it's pretense, who are we fooling? We ain't fooling nobody. His true character came to light. He was not worthy. He was worthless. Right? And why was he like that? We talked about parents before, earlier this morning. Some people spoil their children to the point to where they feel like they can't do no wrong. They get what they want, they do what they want, and they collar and kick and scream because you've allowed them to do it. And that's the problem with Adonijah right here. He wants to get what he wants regardless of what God says, right? 2:15, again, he admitted that. He said that turning the kingdom over to Solomon was from the Lord, right? But he still resists God's will in this matter. He resists it, right? But he can't hide any longer. He can't. And he's been exposed for who he really is. So, he's killed for his rebellion, for his treason. For turning his back on the king when he told the king, I'm going to serve you as long as I'm living. How many of us have said that in our lives? We become a member of the kingdom of God, and we have made a vow in our lives to serve God in his kingdom for the rest of our lives. And here comes the world, and we turn our backs. And we never come back on the inside of the fence. And death finds us on the other side of the fence. And when death finds us on the other side of the fence because of our rebellion, there's a consequence for that in the kingdom. He was killed. And here comes Abiathar the priest. That's our next name, right? We're talking about justice, right? Being established and judgment being established in the kingdom, right? Here comes Abiathar the priest. He was on the same side as Adonijah, right? So they take away the priesthood from him. He says, I'm not going to kill you. I'm just going to take away the priesthood because you're not worthy of this priesthood. You're worthy of death, but I'm not going to kill you, right? But he spares him because he supported David through his hardships. He says, I'm going to spare your life because I know you. So listen. When you look at that, in 1 Samuel 2, 31 through 36, the priestly line of Eli would be cut off. That was a promise from God. And this is a fulfillment of that promise, right? He fulfills the word of God that was spoken at Shiloh about Eli's house. And more than 100 years later, you find that happening. He's taken away from Abiathar because of his evil, because of his sin, because of who he's siding with. There are a lot of people out there who serve two masters. But Jesus says you can't. You can't serve two masters. Abiathar can't be with Adonijah and be with Solomon. But Solomon is merciful and he's graceful to the guy as well. He says, you know what? I'm not going to kill you. I'm just going to take away your priesthood. right? Job and Adonijah was conspiring with each other. You remember that Joab ran to the horns of the altar? And he's begging for mercy. Abiathar got a sweet deal, and you're going to find another guy's going to get a sweet deal. But Joab, he ran right to the horn. What were the horns? What were horns of mercy for? What were they for? Y'all remember? You ran there so you can repent, and you might not get killed, right? Solomon wasn't going for it. Solomon says, I don't care how hard he gripped that. You go in there and you get him. Most of the time, he couldn't go in there and get nobody because you had, you know, the high priest had to die first if you were guilty, right? Remember that? He says, listen, you go in there and you get this joker right now. Go to the tent and you strike him down because he shed innocent blood. He killed two men for position and for pride when David was king. He says, but I got a son who's going to mete out justice and mercy to you. He's holding on to the horns of the altar. You going, look, sometimes you can't run, right? People think they can run from God, but you can't. You can't. You remember when David had numbered those men? God says, I don't want you to number those men. And David was running and running and running. God says, you could do two things. He said, I can punish you, or you can have it this way. And you know what David said to God? He says, Lord, whatever you do to me, just don't put me in the hands of men. And that's something to be learned. Because they're not going to treat me the way that you're going to treat me. He ran all the way to the threshing floor of Araunah. And God found him there and took care of him there at the time. No matter where you run to, if you've done something against God and judgment is upon you, you are going to receive that judgment. Receive it. Receive it. I mean, the story is told of a guy who was at a market, and he met Death at that market. He says, what are you doing here? And Death said, I'm here shopping just like you, looking for people I can take. And he says, oh, man. And he said, I got to get away from you. So he went to his master. He says, give me the fastest horse you got. He said, I got to get away from Death because he was at the market looking for me today. So he took the horse and he ran as far away as he can. And then the master who gave the horse to him was in the market as well. And he saw Death in the market. And he says, what are you doing here? He says, I'm looking for whatever the guy's name was. He says, well, I don't know why he's not here, the master said. Death says he's not here because I'm supposed to meet him to the place he ran to. You can't escape judgment, can't escape justice. And God's kingdom is established on judgment and justice. And that's the kingdom we live in. It's not about who we are, what we think. It's God's judgment. So Benaniah went to the tent and he struck Joab down for shedding innocent blood. And finally, here's your boy Shimei, when he was kicking up dust and cursing and throwing rocks at David. He got a sweet deal, right? Solomon says, listen, I'm not going to kill you or bring judgment upon you. I want you to build a house in Jerusalem. And as long as you don't leave that house in Jerusalem, you're going to be all right. But if you leave that house in Jerusalem, you're going to die. Shimei says, you know what, Solomon? That's a sweet deal because I know what I did to your father. So I'm going to stay right here. I'm going to stay in Jerusalem. But one of his servants ran away. He ran away and he ran over to Gath in Philistia. Who was from Gath? Anybody remember who was from Gath? Huh? Goliath was from Gath. So one of the servants ran to Gath in Philistia, right? And Shimei says, you know what? I got to go get him because he belongs to me. He left Jerusalem. What was the rule? Stay inside the fence, right? Don't go outside the boundaries of God's rules. Stay inside the fence. He went outside the fence, and when he came back, y'all ready? What happened? Yep. He had to die. Because we are supposed to. Now, I'm going to use the word supposed to. But we are commanded, but I'm going to use the word supposed to. We are supposed to obey the king and everything that he says. We are supposed to. Do we do that? No, that gate is open. It's tempting to go outside when it's open, right? It's tempting to go outside and when it's closed. Sometimes they lock the gate and you jump the fence. Yes. Jump the fence a couple times. Yeah. And don't let the gate be short. And don't let somebody who lived in your house tattle on you. And then you got to fight against them. Now he's saying I was outside that. I wasn't outside the fence. God knows your heart. We can't hide. We can't run from God. And Christ's kingdom is not a passive kingdom. I need you to understand that. It's not a passive kingdom, right? Everyone decides what they want to do and how they want to do it. And the consequences are going to be there for you. Either you're going to get a reward from God because of the justice that he meets out, or you're going to get judgment from God because of the justice that he meets out. Your true character is always going to come out, just like Adonijah is going to come out. Your true character is always going to come out, just like Joab and Shimei. And all that was revealed. And we've got to follow the Lord in the exact same way, or we're going to receive judgment for our actions. That's what David says. Listen, you do everything you've got to do according to God's will, Solomon, and you establish his kingdom with judgment and with justice. And if you do that, there's always going to be a man from our family to sit on this throne, right? And that's the other side of the coin. It's true. If you keep charge of the Lord, you're going to keep charge of everything he tells us. You're going to have success in the Lord. I mean, Jesus said the same thing. Because, you see, we go out searching for things that's outside of the kingdom. And that's where we get in trouble at. We think about things that's outside of the kingdom, and that's where we get in trouble at. We speak of things outside of the kingdom, and that's where we get in trouble at. But Jesus said in the mountain message in Matthew chapter 6, we know it very well, but you seek first what? Yeah, and everything that's in it, and all the righteousness that's in it, and everything that you need is going to be added to you. But we go outside the fence because we're anxious about tomorrow. He says, don't be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow's got enough trouble of its own, right? Enough trouble of its own. And if there's trouble in the kingdom, there's people in the kingdom that can help you to resolve that trouble. You have to go outside the fence. If you've got trouble within yourself, there is enough prayer that you can give to God and he'll answer your back to help you outside of any one of those problems. You don't need to go out to the world for anything. Stay in the kingdom. Stay in the kingdom. And there's going to be people in the kingdom that's not always going to do right. But you have the opportunity to repent before God and get it right. And he will forgive you. But if your repentance is a worldly repentance, it's not a godly repentance, you got a price to pay. But if it's a godly repentance, then you have a reward that you're going to receive. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into your master's joy. If we submit to the Son of David, who is Jesus the Christ, God's Son, and follow his laws and his ways, seek his kingdom, everything else is going to fall in place for us. And our lives are going to be established, right, in Christ. And we're going to be transformed in Christ. But don't be false. Don't go around with no pretense. Because, again, people know who you are. You know what else? The world knows who you are. They know. They know, right? Takes one to know one, right? So you've got to decide whether you're going to be true or false to God, right? And you've got to know that those words that you speak, if those words are meaningful, and if you truly believe what you're saying. Because you're trying to get God to believe what you're saying when you don't even believe what you're saying. Oh, Lord, I know I shouldn't have done this. Listen, Adonijah tried hard to get Solomon to believe the things that he was saying, and Solomon believed those things until he didn't. Because Adonijah's heart wasn't right. It's a heart matter here we're looking at. Our hearts have got to be right in the face of God because we're going to have judgment. And he's going to meet our judgment, justice to us, give us a reward for the things that we've done in the body, or we're going to seek judgment. We're going to die. That's a fatal thing. So are we striving to really be worthy people in the kingdom of God? Or are we worthless people standing in need of judgment? Either we worthy or we worthless. That's the two things. That's it. And you can only hide for what's that time frame? And that's the segue for me. I'm going to say so long. We finish this class. And we're going to look at chapter 3 of 2 Kings next week, verses 1 through 3 only for next week. I appreciate you listening so good. And hopefully we can see God's kingdom with all of our heart and all of our mind. Let us pray. Well, thank you so much for your word and your will for our lives. We thank you so much for your example through the life of Solomon and how you established his kingdom. And as a result, Father, we see that shadow as Christ came and established his kingdom as well. And that there's justice and also judgment in the kingdom. It's not a passive kingdom. But it's up to us, Father, to make the choice either to follow Christ and be a servant of the king, or to go outside this fence, the boundaries of your word, and be caught up in the world. We ask that you might, Father, forgive us, for we know we sin and fall short of your glory always. And we thank you for the Christ who showed us the way, resisted temptation at all levels. And that he's given us, Father, life and life eternal, and the expectation of the hope to live with you in heaven. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the Christ. These are all blessings we ask in his name. Amen.